What I want to share with you is assurance about your salvation. And I know that we have doubts about this. I know that we do. People that I talk with, Christians, it's sometimes a difficult issue for us. So I would like to share with you today, using the thief on the cross and what he confessed, as to how we can have, you and I can have, absolute assurance. So I would not want you to leave here today without being totally assured that if you happen to die this evening, or you would be totally confident that you are actually going to heaven and you have no surprise waiting for you. So let's look at this and get some ideas about what this guy, we call him the thief on the cross, confessed. There's a lot of things that we don't know. A lot of things that we do know, a lot of things that we could study, but these things about theology, about our relationship with God, are very essential and really important. A thought to begin with. Jesus is on the center cross, and there's two guys on either side of him. Every single human being, past, present, and future, is on either side of him. Because you're going to be on one side or the other. You're either going to be ultimately like that thief who confessed and talked to Jesus and was saved, or you're going to be like the other one and you will not be saved. And Jesus Christ is the center point of it. That's what we preach. That's what we believe. And so they characterize, these two guys characterize all of humanity. And it's good for us to ask. It's good for people to ask, you know, where are we? Which side are we on? So the first thing that this guy knew that's important for us as far as our faith is to know that upon death, we will come before God. When you die and when I die, we are going to go before God. And this is something that this guy knew. The exchange that he has is amazing. He's sitting there on the dying, not sitting, but he's dying on the cross, which is a hideous way to die. And the one guy is hurling insults at Jesus Christ. The word in Greek is to blaspheme. So that's what they say. But he's basically insulting Jesus. And the one guy says, "Dude, don't you get it? You're going to be dead in just a few moments. Don't you fear God? Don't you understand? You know, you have the same sentence as he does. We're not coming down off of this thing." And they knew. They knew this was, you only came off that cross dead. They made sure of that. So this was a reality. And the guy didn't believe that. And I think there are many people in this world that don't believe it. As a matter of fact, I think the majority of the people in this world, I don't think they really believe that. I think they have different ideas. They're just going to kind of go into, I don't know where. Most people nowadays, like if I were to turn on the Discovery Channel, if I were to turn on National Geographic Channel or something like that, and I watch things on there, so I'm not criticizing or complaining about that at all. I'm just saying, and I know a lot of friends, they just believe that when you die, you just plant a tree. I mean, you help, you go back into the environment as it is. You just kind of just flow into things and you just become part of what this natural, beautiful system that nobody can explain. Even our smartest minds can't even begin to explain, you know, the complexity of all this and how it all works. But so you just go back into that. So I think that's what most people believe. They just think you go into nothing. It's just, that's just the way it is. You live your life and that's it, and that's all. And so that's what I think most people kind of have that thought in their mind. And the thing for us to really understand and for people to really get, and the Holy Spirit really has to bring this to somebody, is that death is the beginning. It's not the end. Death is just the beginning. We have a fraction of a moment of time here. And we are actually eternal beings. You're actually going to be forever. There's a verse from, look at the verse in your outlines from Solomon. Now Solomon, we believe, was the wisest person that ever lived. And he wrote Ecclesiastes. He says, our bodies will return to the dust of the earth, but the breath of life will go back to God who gave it to us. And then the book of Hebrews tells us people are destined once to die and then to face judgment. Some people believe in reincarnation. That would be the pits, wouldn't it? I don't know. They keep coming back here. But, you know, it just shows that we might not get it, we might not understand, but I can tell you this for a fact, there's one appointment you're not going to miss. I miss appointments sometimes. None of us are going to miss the appointment that God's made for us to meet Him. We're not going to miss that one. And actually, before He created you, He set that time. He knows it. He knows exactly when it is. And one day, you and I are going to die. That's a fact. And there's nothing to fear. And we're going to face Him face to face. We will have our time there. The second thing that this guy knew. So the first thing is he knew that when he dies, he's going to face God. The second thing that he knew is he knew that he, and really all of us, but he knew that he had fallen short of what God requires. In verse 41, he says, we deserve to die for the evil deeds that we've done. That's a confession. So he confesses. You'll notice what he does. He does not blame anybody. He doesn't say he didn't do anything. He's not angry with the fact that he got caught and that he has to die in this horrible way. He's not thinking anything like that. He's just, matter of fact, just saying, hey, we're getting what we deserve. We did it wrong. That's a pretty honest, open confession. That really is amazing. And it's the idea that if we break even just one law, if we just break a single law, that if you picture like a chain bridge, so if you had a bridge that you were crossing and it had, you know, was put together with chains, and there's a chain for left side and there's a chain for the right side, if one of the links, just one of the links in that chain breaks, the whole bridge is going to fall down. And so if we break one commandment, the whole bridge to heaven falls. We have no way. And so really, if it's just even one, let's look at this verse. There's a verse in your outline. It says the wages of sin is death. Where is that? It's from Romans 6:23. It says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's look at just the first section of that, if you will, because I want to look at it from a different point of view, a completely different way than maybe you've thought about this before. God says that we're going to get a reward. I can assure you, Jesus Christ preached this. He said that He gave somebody 10 talents, somebody 5 talents, somebody 1 talent. And the Bible clearly says that you will be rewarded. When we appear before Christ, Christ will look at everything that we've done. And He knows the good that we've done. He knows when we handed a blessing bag out to somebody, when we've given, when we've helped. Some of us have jobs and careers where we help people. We do a lot of really good things for people. Maybe we're in business, and rather than cheating someone, rather than taking advantage of someone, you didn't cheat them. Or maybe you could have done something illegal and you didn't do it. I mean, that's huge. That's important. And God sees that. And so God will reward you for that. Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, the Bible tells us as Christians that we who trust God should expect Him to reward us. Isn't that amazing? That's like in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, I believe it is. We don't usually think about it from that perspective because we're afraid of working our salvation, right? So let's look at this verse, the wages of sin. Would you agree that all of us have sinned at least once? I think at least once. I mean, we'll fudge and we'll say, yeah, we've probably done one thing. So here's how it works. At the end of the age, God is going to completely balance the books. He's going to balance the books. Before He creates a new heaven and a new earth, zero balances. He is not going to go in to the next thing He's creating. There's a new heaven, a new earth. This one's going to be all done away with. And before He goes into the next age, He's going to zeros. And He's a really good accountant. And He is going to balance everything out for everybody that has ever lived. So He will reward everybody. There's no problem with that. You will get your reward. However, according to God, and He sets the rules, He will also give us, He will pay us for everything. Now, even one sin has earned a wage. And according to God, I agree that it's bad pay. It is death. But God's pay for that is death. And the only way, and God is fair and just. You see, it's about His justice and His righteousness. He will pay you. You can never say God skipped out on a debt. He is totally righteous, totally just. He will pay you. The only way you can get out of receiving that payment, and some of us are six-figure sinners, the only way that you can ever get out of receiving that payment is if somebody stepped up and took it instead of you. If somebody received that payment for you, when you get up there, God doesn't have to pay you anything. So it's another way to look at it. So when you're standing before God, there's absolutely nothing for Him to give you. It's a zero balance. And so that debt, that wage, is not due you. Your reward, God will remember that. The Bible says clearly. He wants us to do good. You read Titus. We do it in the Bible class. It's Titus 3:4, and it goes through about verse 11. And it says that He wants us to be people zealous to do good works. So He wants us to do good things. But it's good for us to understand the theology of how it works. And that centers around the fact that we know we're sinners. We know that. This guy knew this. And then that leads us into the other thing that he knew, that Jesus was more than a man. You see, he knew that he was going to meet God. He knew that he was a sinner. But he knew that Jesus Christ was more than a man. Because he knew that his kingdom was not in this world. And he knew that when Jesus Christ got to his kingdom, it wouldn't matter whether or not he was a sinner. He knows that he's going to be free. So he's put this together in his mind. I mean, there's some really deep, amazing, essential things that this guy knows. He knows that he is eternal. He knows that Jesus Christ is eternal. He is more than a man. He knows that he has a kingdom. He says that this man, Jesus, is different. He is without sin. He hasn't done anything wrong. Have you guys ever met somebody that hasn't sinned? I've not yet. He said this guy has not sinned. And you know, we don't always realize, we don't always grasp how amazing Jesus is, how wonderful, how powerful His sacrifice and His death was for us. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals that to us. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us understand exactly how beautiful He is. He knew. And it's something for us to know. We have to know that when we die, we're going to face God. We have to know that we are not perfect. And we have to know that Jesus is more than a man. He is more than a man. He is a Savior. He is a King. And we have to know that just by believing, just by simply believing this, He will save us. That's what this guy had. He just simply believed that. And he just, with all his heart, you notice that Jesus didn't talk to him about his sins, did he? I think that's kind of fascinating. Jesus didn't go there. He didn't talk to him about what he had done, what he hadn't done. Not even an issue. It's because Christ is more important. Christ's blood covers all that, and Jesus knew it was a zero balance. And he knew that this guy believed. And it's the simplest prayer you could ever pray. Jesus, remember me. Jesus, remember me. Lord, remember me when I am needing your help and when I am tempted to do things that I shouldn't. I'm tempted to fall. I'm tempted to sin. Jesus, remember me. See, these are times when we want to cling to Jesus Christ. Not completely obvious, is it? To see three guys hanging on a cross, it's not something that you would think. I mean, and nobody got it, right? Nobody got it. All the guys around, they didn't get it. They didn't understand. That part made me think, actually. I thought about how really amazing it is, how God has actually revealed this to us. And it's really just the work of the Holy Spirit. We were baptized as children of God. We grow into this truth. We're confirmed in this truth. And we believe it. And as we live our lives, we begin to confess this and we begin to live this. This is what God wants. So I was looking up some facts. I'll share this with you. I was amazed to find out little things that you would never even know. Did you guys know that the world was supposed to end on September 23, 1983? It was really going to end. And there's actually one guy that saved it. There's a little bit of talk as to who saved the most lives in the world. If you Google it, you'll find different facts. But there's one guy that I think really is the one. And he actually died just recently, May 19, 2017, in Moscow, relatively unknown. But his name is Stanislav Petrov. And he was the commander of a base that was right on the front line of watching for nuclear attacks from the U.S. And he would be the one that would actually take the action. Well, on the base one day, on that one date, and the date was September 23, 1983, they noticed five blips coming over that the computer interpreted as nuclear missiles heading for Russia. He was convinced that they were glitches in the computer, and so he did not react. And it was actually proven as he waited that they were computer glitches, they were actually satellites. And had he actually responded, and of course that would have caused volleys back and forth, this would have obliterated us. We came that close. So somebody you would never know, you'd never look at it, you'd never think about it. And I think, you know, how many of us, you know, we look at Christ, you look at these three guys on the cross, and you look and you see, you know, what he's doing, his work, his grace, his power, his wonder. And I would really encourage us as we grow in our faith to, it is today, it is every day. We're not dying right now, not at this moment. We're called actually to trust Him. We're called actually to put our faith in Him, to walk in the way that He's called us to walk, to follow the way that He wants us to be. And I mean, this is really what He is desiring us to do. He wants us to walk with the full assurance that He is with us. Some of the things that Risa noted in her children's message, that he's actually with us, he's actually forgiven us, he's actually faithful to us, and he's watching over us. I mean, these are the things that God wants to grow in our hearts and bring us encouragement in. And as we grow in the reality of knowing that, we gain more assurance in who we are in Christ, what he's done for us. So that when we are facing our death, we can face it with a smile. I mean, we can confidently say in our heart, we can say, Jesus, remember me. And we can just, you know, fade into His purpose for us for eternity and rest in the goodness of His grace. I pray that God would encourage us in that and strengthen us in that. In Jesus' name, amen.